it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to A2Z Sports Prime Time from the Zen Sports Studios. I'm your host, Buck Rising, and I'm proud, as always, to be presented to you by Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles at the South's most trusted Ford dealer. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. TrueMav Fitness in the Gulch, where you go to get the best workout in Middle Tennessee. TrueMav Fitness is there to help you. No workout ever recycled or repeated. Your first workout is free at truemavfitness.com. And the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Don't sell without the intel. The official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators, who unfortunately have fallen 4-3 tonight, right before this live stream began. And Zen Sports. Download the app. Bet on playoff hockey, playoff basketball, baseball, arena football, if you want. Or rather, spring football, if you want. I don't know if they're getting odds on the Nashville Cats games in the Zen Sports app. But you can bet on all your favorite major sports in the Zen Sports app. Download the app and plug in the promo code ATOZTN. So there's a lot to dive into with these, particularly with these seven picks. And the simplest way to do it is to kind of look at this. So you've got five defensive players, two players on offense. You did not have a single trade, no trades up, no trades back. Rand Carthon spoke in a couple of different press conferences after day two and after day three about the offers that they potentially had. In particular, a lot of you guys got up in arms about him saying that he got 8 or 9 calls about the 38th overall selection and ended up sticking and picking Tavondre Sweat, the nose tackle, out of Texas anyway. Brian Callahan had to clarify that for him and say that just because there were calls doesn't mean that they felt the value was right for the 38th overall pick based on the players that were available to them. So in round one, J.C. Latham, two, Tavondre Sweat. They didn't have a third-round pick, so the third pick in the fourth round is Cedric Gray at 106. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the corner out of Louisville in the fifth. Jaquan Jackson, the wide receiver out of Tulane in the sixth. Tajay Spears' college roommate. Tajay was actually at the draft party for Jaquan Jackson, which was cool, and he jumped on the Zoom call with us for a little bit when we were speaking to Jaquan. And then James Williams, a safety at Miami, but he will play linebacker here in Tennessee. Jalen Harrell is the Titans' final pick in the seventh round, 252, the outside linebacker from Michigan, 6'4", 247. So that's your 2024 draft class, and the question that I'll ask you is this: which is your favorite? We'll start with your favorite. We'll talk about our least favorites here in just a second, but seven picks, five defense, two on offense, a tackle in the first round, a nose tackle in the second. You've got two linebackers, a wide receiver, corner, and an edge player. What was your favorite pick, either because of the value, because of the player, because you liked them in the pre-draft process, because you guessed the pick correctly? You're welcome to mention whatever struck you about any of these seven picks that the Titans did make. We'll talk about it together right after I remind you that your Two Rivers Ford take is presented by Two Rivers Ford. Quality American-made Ford vehicles and award-winning customer service is what they offer. Two Rivers Ford in Mount Juliet or online at tworiversford.com. So what was your favorite pick from this draft class? Now, I think there's a couple of, you know, you can go point counterpoint on a lot of these players. Seventh overall, they stick and pick the tackle. We talked about this. There was in the first round, well, I guess we haven't talked about this on primetime, but for those of you who listen to the radio show, so I'll go back to my notes from round one. With offense dominating the night, you had the first 14 picks on offense, which shattered the previous record of seven consecutive offensive players in 2021. 23 of the first 32 in the first round were offensive players. The previous record was 19. So offense dominated the first round, and then you saw defense kind of catch up, certainly by percentage in the Titans draft, and for the rest of the draft, it evened out much better that way. For the Titans, you had Arizona go chalk at 4 with Marvin Harrison Jr. You thought then, all right, things might get a little interesting. Offensive line at 5, the pick is Joe Alt to the Chargers. Jim Harbaugh does the most obvious Jim Harbaugh thing. If you listen to the radio show on Thursday, Diana Rossini said that the smoke around the Chargers taking Joe Alt was very, very real, and that she expected that was the move that they were going to make, and that was ultimately what they ended up doing. So Joe Alt comes off the board. The Titans don't have him at their disposal. Then Malik Nabers, the gaslighting of the first round, went to the New York Giants. There was some messaging around potentially them taking a quarterback. They did not. They took a weapon for Daniel Jones, and they put that to bed, and they took the player that I would have wanted at 7 off the board. So ultimately, the Titans end up with J.C. Latham at 7 overall. He's a right tackle at Alabama. They are very confident in his ability to play left, and I will tell you why he is my favorite pick of the Titans draft class right after you hear from J.C. Latham himself. This was the Titans' new first-round draft pick, the second consecutive year where the Titans have taken an offensive lineman in the first round. He is going to play on the left side. They are confident in his ability to do so. According to multiple people, he is the favorite prospect of Bill Callahan from this particular Titans draft, or from rather this offensive line draft class. And so ultimately he ends up here in Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm extremely excited and stoked to do it. You know, just even not even with him, just the whole O-line and offense as a whole. You know, playing O-line, that's the most vital position to every single team. You know, games are won and lost in the trenches. You know, and I'm not trying to say nothing wrong with the D-line, but if two guys get pancaked or whatever the case may be and on the D-line, but one guy gets a sack, you know, it all works out. You know, in O-line, if a guy gets beat out of one of the five, the whole play is dead. So you need all five to work as one. And, yeah, so I'm extremely excited to play with him and to play with everybody else on that O-line.
So that's J.C. Latham speaking to us on Friday after he arrived in Nashville. I text, by the way, next Friday, this coming Friday, not even next Friday, but this Friday, May the 3rd, the live show with Greg Cosell, with Rand Carthon, the Titans general manager. We're going to break down this entire draft class. Can't wait to see you guys out at the Hutton Hotel for that awesome live show. And then hopefully the Preds are playing in game 6 that we can go out and celebrate a Preds game 6 win afterwards. But we will see the Preds dropping game 4 in Nashville tonight, 4-3 to Vancouver. That series now 3-1 in favor of the Canucks. But I texted Cosell about this afterwards, and he said, listen, J.C. Latham was my favorite offensive line, or a better offensive line prospect than Joe Alt. I like to pick from the Titans. And then he sent me his full college prospect evaluation sheet, and I'll read you a couple of snippets from it because I want the analysis, the real analysis, to come on Friday night. But what Greg says in the beginning of this is Latham is one of the better offensive line prospects in the 2024 draft class after starting at right tackle for 2 seasons at Alabama, and he brings a desirable combination of size and play strength and power and movement and competitive toughness. That is J.C. Latham. He is going to be just fine on the left side. I had Jeff Fisher on the radio show on Friday in studio with Coach Dave McGinnis, and we talked about that as well. Jeff Fisher and Mac know Bill Callahan very, very well. They both shrugged their shoulders and said, what, Bill Callahan's not going to be able to get this guy in position to succeed? They're going to be just fine. This in particular is my favorite pick of the draft class because I know he's not a left tackle in college, but he's their left tackle now. This is the Titan. This is the thing that the Titans needed the most. It's the thing that they ultimately go out and get the most. You can't coach his size. He's 6'6", 342. You can't coach his aggression, which is something that he has over Joe Alt. Perhaps, I mean, maybe you can coach aggression and things like that. Maybe you can find different ways to motivate players or whatever. I'm sure you can, for people smarter than me about the art of coaching and motivating young men to go out and play a violent sport like football. But J.C. Latham is that mother bleeper. This dude is an absolute bull. And so I think the Titans fans should be thrilled with this selection. I know it's not that sexy. I know it's probably not the best case scenario out of all the different draft scenarios that you had worked up in your head. But for me, it satisfies the need outright. And this guy is going to be just fine, provided that he stay healthy. MB with a compliment, says, great interview with Jeff Fisher and Coach Mack. By the way, yeah, I would really invite all of you guys, not just, you know, because I'm bragging on myself here, but the best part of it was that I didn't talk hardly at all. Fish and Mack came in studio on Friday after the first round, and they broke down all of the process behind picking a player like J.C. Latham around moving a player to a certain position and then evaluating the draft board afterwards. It was a really, really great discussion. You can check it out on 104.5 The Zone's YouTube page. Or if you're not already subscribed to the radio show, because, guys, we're going to have the draft picks on all over the course of the next couple of weeks. We're going to have the coaches on. We're going to have Rand, the live show with Rand coming up. We're going to have great, great Cosell analysis. The guests are going to be awesome. We've already been in touch with a bunch of these dudes, college coaches, so you can get to know them better. So a plug for the radio show while I'm here, too. Make sure you subscribe to the Buck Rising Show wherever it is that you get your podcast. And like I said, you can live stream it on YouTube if you go subscribe to 104.5 The Zone's channel. Favorite pick in the draft class, which one was yours? We'll read more of your comments here in just a second. Let me remind you that the primetime program is presented by Zen Sports. No danger first wager, up to $1,000. Hockey, basketball, baseball, same game parlays. Zen Sports has you covered. Promo code ATOZTN is how you get in on all the action. Zen Sports, where betting just got better. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Must be 21 plus and in the state of Tennessee to bet. Zen Sports, promo code ATOZTN. What was your favorite pick from the draft class? 7 players, 5 defense, 2 on offense. Stevie says, Trench King, that is Latham's nickname. TK is his Instagram and Twitter handle. That stands for Trench King. Titans drafted 2 Trench Kings in the first and second round with Sweat and Latham. That is a lot of beef. Honestly, this was a really great draft, says Brian Spivey. Lucas Burke says he was on Sweat also. I think that the Sweat pick, you know, there's going to be some questions. Obviously, the DWI arrest that close to the draft brings up, you know, your decision-making. And I know there are some mitigating details. He didn't want to discuss it because it's an ongoing legal situation. What Rand Carthon said is that he provided additional context about that for the Titans administration. They went down to visit him. In particular, they flew to Houston specifically to find out more about him and his family. And I think that the Titans, you know, feel with the idea that they've got Kevondre Coburn, who played with Sweat at Texas, who he respects a lot, that they have Jeff Simmons, who came into the league with a fair amount of adversity, certainly, and is matured very much. Leo is in here yelling at the damn Bert. Do you hear the cat in the background? We are going to have to get everybody in line around here. We're trying to do a live show broadcast, and I can't for the life of me drown out the cat. Simmer down, all right? We got it covered. But there's a love of violence in this particular draft class. We think that this is going to be something that the Titans are emphasizing. That was the emphasis of the draft class, the violence in it. And Sweat, Latham, a lot of these guys embody that mentality. Trippin' Titan says, let's see that cat. I don't want to mess with, he's within grasp probably, but I don't necessarily know that I want to get him up here. He's 15 pounds and he'll cause a damn scene on the set. Maybe we'll fish Moon out of here somewhere, and we'll see if she's a little more manageable. She's about half Leo's size. Steve Jones says, cats don't give a rat's ass. I know, which is why I respect them. Tig says, that's what you get for having a freaking cat. Shameful. No, cats are way better than dogs. I couldn't lock myself at the Titans facility, cover a draft for you for 3 days and not have to think about, you know, walks or anything. They have an automatic feeder. They have an automatic litter box. These things live like kings, all right? And you know, they don't need anything, which is ideal. And also, they're not all up in your shit all the time. I like them way better than dogs, but I completely respect you if you are a dog person as well. Shannon Wall says, the cat can replace Treylon Burks. I don't know how Leo is. He looks like he could use a little conditioning at this point in his life. 15 pounds, pretty heavy. I'm thinking about getting one of those hamster wheels to put in the office. I'm sure that'll make a lot of noise in the middle of the night. Stokely says, get Leo a headset and give him a segment. I already have a pet that has a segment and a headset. His name is Bert, and that's on Mondays with In Case You Missed It. So enough of that. Anyway, so my favorite pick was Latham. Who is your favorite pick from the Titans draft class? Let's see. A lot of you guys like Sweat in particular. Again, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on him. But, you know, they feel like they've got an environment that will foster growth and maturity from a guy who some people feels like he might need it. Sweat is tight. It just says Titan on YouTube. He says Sweat is his favorite. Gray, the linebacker, Cedric Gray, is his second favorite. And Jarvis Brownlee Jr., the corner in the fifth round from Louisville, is his third favorite. A lot of people like Sweat. A lot of people like Sweat. Vernon Sanford says James Williams. So he said he's never played a snap of linebacker. He's not the first college safety to convert to linebacker, but he is significantly better than – I would argue that he's significantly better. He's significantly bigger and better and more athletic than Otis Reese, who was a safety at Ole Miss and then converted down to linebacker last year as a UDFA. This dude is 6'4", 232, and he's a thumper. And it's not even about him playing linebacker, because he's going to be a core special teams guy, and that dude is going to go out there and hit. Saw a lot of teams drafting for the new special teams rules, in particular the returning rules, the kick return rule that's going to be adapted heading into 2024. We talked to Jaquan Jackson about that as well. He said that many teams spoke to him about the idea of being prepared for that in this upcoming season, the new NFL kickoff rules. Titans said they consider Jaquan Jackson to be a dual returner, so he can do both kick and punt returns, according to Rand Carthon, even though he was primarily a punt returner at Tulane. So, with that being said, Brian Spivey also adds that he's Ed Reed's nephew. Yes, he did say that Ed Reed is his uncle, and, you know, it'd be cool to see Ed Reed at a Titan practice or two here in the upcoming future. Who's to say? Daniel Barnum says, what and see on a trade for Rand Carthon? I don't know what that means. Lucas Burke says, save our running backs. I'm not sure what that means either, necessarily, unless you're talking about the offensive line, with which I would agree. Stokely says, Sweat and Big Jeff, I need to see a game where Brewer faces that duo up the middle. Titans are playing the Dolphins this year. That's absolutely something that's going to happen. I think it's in Miami too. So yeah, if you want beef against Darren Brewer, you will get that, provided that all three of the necessary parties are healthy when the Titans and Dolphins ultimately meet. We will get the schedule this coming month in May, so we will find out when specifically the Titans open, where they open, I think they have 9 road games again, because last year was supposed to be their 9 home games year, except they got burned on the London Ravens game being a home game. Anyway, we will see how that all plays out. So my favorite pick is Latham. A lot of you guys nominating Sweat in particular. Ocho says, talk UDFA signing soon. That's probably a radio show thing. I don't think we're going to dedicate a whole primetime show or a primetime segment to UDFA signing. So there are some interesting ones. It'll give me a little more time because, to be honest, I took the day off just kind of until, you know, I had to start cycling up for watching these guys again and get ready to do primetime and watching the Preds game and things like that. But I haven't dove deep into the free agents, the UDFA free agents just yet. Major Key says, Buck, why did you shave your stash commando style? I wasn't planning to, but then I took a little too much off on one side. So I just had to get rid of it. Don't worry. I can get it back in a week if I want. Anyway, so least favorite pick of the Titans 2024 draft class. Who is it for you? We will talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. It can be a specific player. It can be a player because you thought the team could have traded to better secure a more draft capital. For example, Monty Ossenfort, the former Titans executive, now turned Cardinals staffer, had 9 picks in the top 100. And he equipped himself well last year to be able to do that, but he was moving around in this year's draft. I know the Eagles had something like 9 trades. A lot of teams very, very active in the trading up and trading down situation. Titans stuck and picked at every one of their 7 selections this year. despite Rand Carthon saying that they had calls every day for certain picks. Which was your least favorite pick of the 2024 draft class? We'll talk about it together right after I remind you that the Primetime program is presented by TrueMap Fitness in the Gulch. All of your fitness goals can be accomplished at TrueMap Fitness, where your first workout is free as a Middle Tennessee resident. No TrueMap Fitness workout is ever recycled or repeated. I'm looking forward to getting back in the gym this week. It was not a very healthy week for me because of the draft and because of all the free food. Shout out the Titans, by the way, for feeding us. I ate basically three meals a day over there for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So thank you to the great Titans kitchen staff for taking care of us, and PR staff as well, to make sure that we were well caffeinated and well supplied in our dungeon of a media room. It's not really a dungeon. It's got a very nice window looking out on the sunshine and the water. Either way, TrueMapFitness.com for your first workout free as a Middle Tennessee resident. They will put you in position to succeed. All right. So, which was your least favorite pick? The third round, guys, says Steve Jones. Steve Jones and B. French making the same joke. Daniel Barton says wait and see on grade for Rand Carthon draft picks. Sorry. That's okay. I don't do draft grades for exactly that reason, because, you know, I have no idea what these guys are going to be. I know what they were in college. I have an idea of what they might be in the pros, but draft grades are dumb. Or at least let me not say they're dumb. All right. They provide entertainment. I think you can get some entertainment out of people's draft grades. They serve a purpose. I don't particularly do them because I don't see real value in them. And if I don't see value in it, then I'm not going to spend time talking about it. So yeah, I'm not in on the draft grades or anything like that. I don't really care about what anybody grades a draft class before they've even seen them play a snap, seen them take a practice rep or anything like that. Jeff Rubel says nobody gave the Titans a good grade. Well, okay. Well, I just, congratulations to nobody. I don't understand why people get so caught up in the idea of it. I get why people do them. I get why people produce them, because you can argue with them. If you give a team a lower grade than you think might stir some engagement or stir some controversy within the fan base or some of that. There's some people who do try to do it credibly, and you know, I'm not taking anything away from them. I just, you know, it's not an exercise that I enjoy. So which of the picks was your least favorite at this point? Zero liked all the picks. Three possible starters, said Elton Jones. Well, some of these players are going to absolutely have to start. Latham, Sweat, and one would imagine Cedric Gray are going to have to start. You could probably make an argument for Jaquan Jackson, provided he stay healthy. PK certainly did on the podcast yesterday. We talked about the starting wide receiver rotation. You can listen to the 615 Sessions podcast and the A to Z Sports Podcast Network with Paul Kaharsky and Joe Rexroad from yesterday. Steve Miranda says, yeah, F them grades. They're annoying. We haven't seen any games played. I just never put real stock into them. Carl Foster says, Jaquan Jackson is my least favorite, but I don't know his tape or anything about him. Well, then that's an interesting logic, Carl, but that's okay. I haven't seen James Williams play, I'll be honest with you. And that's an ACC player. That's a Power 5 conference player, a starter on defense. I haven't admittedly studied a ton of his tape. I've seen most of these guys play in some form or fashion over the course of their college careers, because they are all Power 5. Tulane, obviously, Jaquan Jackson, not a Power 5 player. But Tulane has been, you know, one of the better programs in the last couple of years, played in a bunch of bowl games. So I have seen him play. He is undersized for sure, but he's creative with the ball in his hands. I like him a lot. When I watch him, it's just a question of whether he's going to stay available. I'll just look at my notes really quick from yesterday's draft. Was college roommates with Tajay Spears. He's got great work ethic. He comes from a family that understands how the league works in particular, so they have him well equipped, which is not insignificant for a lot of these rookies. And with him, he is a dedicated slot receiver, plus you have return value there. I think it's just fine. If I had to pick a least favorite, I'm not like down on these guys necessarily, any of them, but if I had to pick a least favorite, I'd say the linebacker from North Carolina in the fourth round, Cedric Gray, and I'll explain why in a second.
With the 106th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Cedric Gray.
I like him.
Linebacker, UNC.
So they didn't get to the 1K, but they got a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, he's the best linebacker available. I thought he would be gone last round. I'm a little surprised he's still sticking around. Excellent cover ability. He's an outstanding blitzer. And as you'll see here, the eyes work well as well. The change of direction, able to read and react and make a play in space. The coverage ability that I discussed. Look, if you can't cover at linebacker right now, you cannot get on the field or stay on the field the way the game is played. The instincts, here he is again. We have to show the App State, really, guys?
Thanks. Yes, that's cold.
Thanks, Ben. Then you see him again here as a blitzer. CD, I mentioned that reference there, what he can do. Athletic linebacker, I like this move a lot.
And how about quick, a little bit of a legacy move? You remember the guy they had before? That came from Zach Brown. Came from the University of North Carolina, a run chase hit linebacker. Cedric Gray can be the next one.
This is also a guy who has led the team in tackles for 3 years, but I would add special teams demon. He'll play right away on special.
So he'll play right away on special teams. He'll have to. Bert was talking to me about this guy in the pregame, and he's not the green dot linebacker that people seem to think he is, though the Titans are going to say that he has the ability to be able to execute the defensive play calling with that coach-to-player communication. He's not a great read-and-react linebacker. He's got great coverage ability. He's a three-year starter. He's very, very statistically productive. Led all Power 5 players in tackles in the last two seasons. Did not remember having a meeting with the Titans necessarily, but we did talk to Anthony Robinson, the assistant GM, about him, and they did speak with him at the Super Bowl. Good in coverage, and that's not Kenneth Murray's strength, so The key and diagnose thing is going to be the biggest learning curve, but if you had to be deficient at linebacker, you did well to keep those guys clean by having Jeff Simmons, by having Tavondre Sweat to suck up double teams, by having that kind of beef up front to make life easier on the guys playing behind them. Again, he is the coverage player that they needed, but it does not sound like he is the gray dot player that they wanted. That's necessarily a strength. It was not a good inside linebacker class. There were not really better options ahead of him. Who was it that fell? Was it Peyton Wilson that fell through to the fourth round? And I believe, he might have fallen. He fell through the fourth round for sure, because he was still on the board when the Titans took Cedric Gray. He went to the Steelers, ultimately dealing with a ton of health concerns. And it sounds like those health concerns are legit. It's not just the lack of Achilles. He's had shoulder. He's had knee. He's had a variety of different things that has to be managed. A third round player. He went before Cedric Gray? Okay, I forgot that playing out exactly. But yes, Cedric Gray, one of the better inside linebackers, if not the best inside linebacker prospect on the board at the time that the Titans picked. So you understood the need. They can still supplement it. It helps push Jack Gibbons and Otis Reese further down the bench, and that's what you're looking for here. So least favorite player for me was Cedric Gray. I'm not out on him by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that he leaves a little bit desired based on the background, based on the tape. Aubrey Calvin says, Ray Lewis said it best. Both guys up front, he can be great. And with Simmons and Sweat, our linebackers are going to eat. That's the theory, right? He'll get the opportunity to be a day one starter. We will find out whether he's capable of doing that or not. John Gall says, no, he is good at read and react. That, listen, John, I'm taking it from Dane Brugler. I'm taking it from Daniel Jeremiah. I talked to scouts throughout the course of the process. He is not regarded as somebody who's processing key and diagnose is one of the best skills. In fact, it's described mostly as a weakness by the vast majority of people that I talk to. I understand that that there was a lot of dysfunction during his time there at North Carolina under Gene, not dysfunction, but just kind of disorganization under Gene Chizik while he was at North Carolina. So I'm not blaming him for all the North Carolina defensive issues that they did display. We'll find out. We will see what happens with Cedric Gray. So that was my favorite pick and my least favorite pick. We'll talk about the entirety of the draft class tomorrow on 104.5 The Zone from 10 to 1. You can hang out with us. Let's wrap things up with a little Sunday fun day. It's going to feel less fun because I thought the Preds were going to win when we put this video into the system, but because they had a little Titans flair to game four. The Preds ultimately lose 4-3, so this is going to hit a little less hard than I wanted it to. But either way, Sunday Funday, what's the best thing that you saw in sports this weekend? We'll talk about it together on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on Twitch right after I remind you that the Primetime Program is presented by the Ashton Real Estate Group of RE/MAX Advantage. Don't sell without the intel. That's the Gary Ashton motto. The official real estate agent of the Nashville Predators is GaryAshton.com. Best thing that I saw on this Sunday until the Preds blew a 3-1 lead was Will Levis and Lloyd Cushenberry getting the crowd hype before game four. So you could also nominate Taylor Lewan chugging a beer and then his daughter Wynn, his oldest daughter Wynn, chugging a water. That was cool. Unfortunately, the Preds did lose in this game. 3-1 lead and then ultimately blew it with 6.2 seconds remaining in regulation to lose 4-3 in the overtime period. Tough scene. The Lakers comeback, says Steven Miranda. Lakers finally woke up. Best thing for me, says Chris Frazier. The Pats taking two quarterbacks, says Rishi. Yeah, they did take Joe Milton. They took Drake May from North Carolina, third overall, and then they took Joe Milton later in the sixth round. Joe Milton, who was going to play quarterback there, says he's not going to switch to tight end, so that's all well and good. Levis and Kush are some energetic dudes, says Joshua Mullins. Will Levis has had a very colorful offseason, a very busy offseason, been out at a lot of events, been very publicly front-facing. That's good for the brand. All he needs to do now is take a legit step forward as a football player. And we will find out whether he is capable of that. That's going to do it for us tonight on the Primetime Program. We got a lot of great content from the draft weekend for you guys to check out. Read everything that I wrote at AtoZSports.com. You can do that. You can listen to the 615 Sessions podcast to hear Kaharsky, Rex Rhodes, and myself immediately after Rand Carthon's wrap-up press conference yesterday at the Titans practice facility. It was a great pod. You'll really enjoy it. And then come hang out with us from 10 to 1 on 104.5 The Zone tomorrow, where we will spend 3 hours breaking down this draft class in greater detail and talk about the draft at large, because it was a very, very interesting one. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning on the radio show.
Go home! Go home! Go home! You're embarrassing Nashville! Go home!